People go away. They are disappointed. And it was the same with Jesus. The crowds, the masses gathered around Jesus looking for life, or what they thought was life. But they were disappointed when they didn't find what they were looking for. What are you looking for in life? Jesus says these words, "If anyone wants to come after me," three conditions. There are three demands. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Hear these words. There are only three things Jesus is calling you to do. Do you believe in Jesus? Jesus is saying, show me. Does your faith work? Does it move? Is it in your heart? Is it in your hands? Is it in your feet? Is it alive? There are three conditions. The first is denying ourselves. Deny yourself. I want to ask the children, how do you spell the word self? S-E-L-F, right? Self. I want to take that word and those letters to help us understand what it means to deny ourselves. S, saying no to self. This is self-denial. Saying no to self when all that is in you is saying yes. Yes. Paul says to Titus, the grace of God teaches us how to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. The grace of God, the favor undeserved to us, teaches us to say no when we are tempted. I don't know your temptations. We all have particular temptations. And you know them. And the grace of God is teaching us to say no, to deny yourself. Whether you're sitting in front of the computer and you are tempted to say no for Jesus. When you feel the anger erupting in you at your children, to say no. Whatever your temptations, it is denying yourself, saying no, but saying yes to Jesus. Saying no. Secondly, E, emptying yourself of self. Emptying yourself. Like Jesus, who emptied himself, made himself nothing, taking on the form of a bondservant. Making yourselves out to be nothing. I was struck with this when a couple years ago I realized that I started thinking that I was something. Well, that happens every day, but particularly in this moment. People call me in Sudan Deng Gedeng. That's my name. Deng is my given name. My father is Gedeng. My grandfather is Thiel. But most of the time when I'm riding through the trails, I hear the children calling out, Deng Gedeng, Deng Gedeng. Or I'm greeted by the elders or the youth, Deng Gedeng. And I started to think, all these reports of Deng Gedeng being famous, I started to think, yeah, wow, I'm something. In this area of the world, at least. It's the bush. But, you know, I realized I became puffed up when I was on my bicycle coming out of a compound. They have grass mats surrounding this compound. And I didn't see the guy coming into the compound. And he starts yelling at me, "What are you doing? Look where you're going." And as I rode away, I thought, doesn't this guy know who I am? I'm Deng Gedeng. Well, I start, wait a second, who am I? Anyways. But, you know, Paul says, if you think that you are something when you are nothing, you are deceiving yourself. What is it that you want the world to put a spotlight on you? What is it that in that part of your life that you want people to look at you and respect you and honor you? And they say, wow, you are great. You are something. Jesus is saying, deny yourself. He is saying, forget who you are. You are nothing. He is saying that you are to drain yourself of self. Empty yourself. When you think you are something, empty yourself, making yourself to be nothing. The third point is L, letting go of self. Letting go of selfish ambitions. Paul says, I determined to know nothing except what? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. With all of Paul's ambitions, he was able to vaporize the rest until only one remained, and that was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Have you done that? It's a process. We have ambitions. We have dreams. But Jesus is calling us to check our motives. Because all that you are pursuing that is for self will be lost. But all that is for Christ will last. This is letting go of our selfish ambitions. And the fourth thing is forgetting self. Forgetting self. Paul says, taking this from this verse, to live is Christ, to die is gain. But he says, to live is Christ. That's it. Life is for Christ. It's not about us. And this me culture is reminding us continually, daily, that it's about us. It's about you. But it's not. Jesus is saying, forget yourself. It's a call to self-forgetfulness. The great king of pop, Michael Jackson, died last week. And the world is mourning. You know, there's a line that I saw on YouTube. A quote, I think I'm quoting him. He said, it's hard being me. How sad. He pursued his life to be me. He made huge statues of himself to flow down put on barges to flow down the great rivers of the world. For people to idolize him. It was about him. Jesus is calling people of the world not to be idolized, not to worship another, but to forget ourselves. Deny yourselves and worship Him. In my room when I was a young believer, I put, it's still there, a sign from John the Baptist who said, He must increase and I must decrease. And I knelt down before that sign every morning praying, God, may You increase and may I decrease. And every day, I seek that the same. It's all for Jesus. It's not for us. If you want true life, it's a measure of how much you long for it. How much you are denying yourself and even all the things that the world offer so that you can gain life and find it in Jesus. Denying ourselves. The second condition is taking up the cross. And the Gospel of Luke, it says daily taking up the cross. Jesus told his disciples just before this that he would soon suffer. He would be betrayed. He would be mocked. He would be crucified and killed. And on the third day, he would rise again. Jesus took up his cross, and now he's calling his disciples to take up their cross as well. When they heard that word cross, these disciples, they knew what he was talking about. It's not the cross we hang on our necks. It was the cross that criminals took up. And there they were impaled to those planks of wood. It was a form of torture. And they died. Sometimes after days, hanging there for days. When they took that cross after the guilty verdict, they were submitting to the authority and rule of Rome. And so this is the picture that Jesus is bringing to his disciples. There are three things that I believe Jesus is talking about. There's maybe more. But I believe there are these three things. Submitting to Jesus. Suffering with Jesus. And crucifying the self. The first, submitting to Jesus. You know, even Jesus took up his cross, submitting. He submitted to Rome. He submitted to men. But it was in the eternal purpose of God that he would lay down his life for his people. This is his submission, but now he's calling his disciples to submit to him, to take the cross that he was giving them. And when we submit to him, this is our act of obedience. And in Matthew 10, Jesus says, if anyone does not take up the cross, he's not worthy of me. It's a must. You must take it up. There is no heaven without the pain of the cross. There is no crown without the cross. So the first is submitting to Jesus and taking up this cross. Saying, yes, Lord, I will do it. The second is suffering with him. Suffering. When you take up the cross, you are saying, I'm not ashamed of you, Jesus. I'm committed to you, to identify with you, and all that it comes with you. That is the betrayal of life, of being a follower of Jesus. Being insulted, being mocked, being accused falsely, and at times being beaten, being arrested, being in prison, and for some, being killed for Jesus. We have a friend in Sudan who comes, we see him almost every day. His name is James Abdelgader Al-Karim. He's from the area that you might be familiar with where there's a war now in Western Sudan in Darfur. He came to our area, and God's providence has come to be a follower of Jesus. And this man knows what it is to take up his cross. Living in a community of Muslims, he loves them, but they insult him. They frame him for something that he has not done. He's been in prison. He's been beaten. He's mocked. He knows what it means to take up the cross. And it's not just him. My friends, I don't know if you know this, but the majority of Christians are experiencing this every day in the world. Because the church is massive in what we call the global south, and it is a persecuted church in what we call a 1040 window. These are people that daily they know what it is to take up the cross and follow Jesus. there have been more martyrs in the last 100 years than in the last 19 centuries combined. And we are together with them, taking up our cross and following Jesus. We shouldn't be surprised. Paul says to the Philippians, it has been granted to you not only to believe in Him. Do you know the rest of this line? But also to suffer for Him. It comes together. Faith and suffering for Jesus. Jesus was marked for us. And we are to bear His marks for Him. And not only to suffer, but at times it means to die for Him. And that's where Jesus is calling us to die to ourselves. Dying to self. Paul tells the church in Galatia, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. This is the crucified life. How are we to be crucified? It's the old self that dies with Christ. That died and dies with Christ. The selfish, unloving, proud, worldly self is impaled on the cross. So that the new self, which is humble, to be humble, and loving, and heavenly, is raised up with Christ. This is the crucified life. Walking now, the old has passed, now walking in the new. What does the world say to you when you experience the flesh and the struggles against the flesh? It says, gratify it. Enjoy it. Live it up. It's hedonism. And when you experience the struggle, it says, run from it. But Jesus says, take up the cross. Die. Your suffering, your struggle against sin, your trials in this life, Jesus says, are only light. They're only momentary. Why? Because if you compare them with the inexpressible glory that is to be revealed, that's what it is. Your struggle is only for a short time. Very soon, you will enter into this glory beyond comparison. So Jesus is calling us to deny ourselves, to take up the cross, and thirdly, to follow Him. He's saying, I'm going, are you with me, to follow me in my footsteps. In Sudan, we have observed sheep. And you've heard many illustrations of the sheep in the church, I'm sure, and it's true. They're not smart animals. When you're driving on the road and you see something in the distance on the road, the sheep and the goats, you can hardly tell the difference. But as you approach them, if you see that they are sheep, you put on the brakes and you come to a complete stop because they won't move for you unless there's a leader. And if there's a leader and he's running forward off the road, they will follow him line by line. You know, we read the scriptures and find so many interesting illustrations here. And I want to give you three things that I've observed about sheep. That's the first, is that the sheep in Sudan, they don't have a shepherd. They just have sheep as their shepherd. That's the first thing. They choose their leader. The second is they know the voice of their leader. They hear his voice. Because when they hear, they follow. They hear the, what's the verb for baying or whatever? They hear the baying and they're gone. They follow. And they will leave whatever they are doing. If they're chomping on the grass, they will leave it and they will go. So there are three things in helping understand what it means to follow Jesus, following the Great Shepherd. These three things. First, choosing your leader. Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Either you love one or you hate the other. Either you are devoted to the one or you despise the other. Which one will it be? Moses, we read in the Old Testament reading, as he stood before the people, and he said, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that you might live. What are you choosing? There's only one way to find life, and that is in Jesus. The world says, here's life, here's life, here's life. And Jesus says, here is life. Which one is your leader? And which one will you hear? Which voice will you incline your ear to? Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me. Who are you listening to? There are many voices wanting you to follow. Come here and follow this. Follow me. What are you listening to? Life is before you. And Jesus is saying, follow me. Then Jesus is asking you to leave everything. Everything. When he was walking the shores of Galilee, he saw Peter, Andrew, John, and James doing their work as fishermen. And what did he say to them? Come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. They left their nets and they followed him. When Jesus walked by Matthew, the tax collector, he was working along, doing his work. Jesus says, come, follow me. It says he left it behind, he got up, and he followed him. When Jesus says, come, follow me, he is saying, leave it behind. This is the test, forsaking all for Jesus. When I was in Vancouver, which is in British Columbia, a province of Canada, on the west coast, I was visiting a friend, and we went to the main center where there's a lot of traffic. People are going back and forth along this road, and we were standing on steps, and one of the brothers was preaching the gospel from those steps. And at the end, as some people were listening, they came up to this brother and started talking. And said, okay, man, this guy, let me describe him. He was a hip-hop artist. He was a rap African-Canadian guy, and he was saying, okay, so you tell me, how do I get saved? And I was ready to answer that question, but the brother who was preaching before, he said, repent. He's like, well, what do you mean, repent? Like, what do I have to do? And he says, okay, what do you love? What's your passion? He says, I love hip-hop, man. I love rap music. And you know what he said? He says, leave it. Leave it. And he walked away. He couldn't leave it. Like the rich man when Jesus offered life to him. He said, go, sell all that you have, give to the poor, and follow me. The rich man walked away sad. He couldn't do it. What are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? The thing that you are holding on to is holding you. Whatever you're living for is the path that you are taking. If you're living for your husband or your wife or your children or your work or your holidays, your retirement, I don't know what it is. But if you're clinging to that thing, it's holding on to you. Jesus says, let it go. Be willing to leave all for Jesus. And Jesus stood before these disciples in the crowds and offered himself. You want life? Come and follow me. He stands before you now and he says, come, follow me. And you will have life. I want to conclude this message with the words that summarize all of this. The most often spoken words from the lips of Jesus. And they're in verse 25. He says this, whoever wishes to save or keep his life, what will happen to those people? They will lose it. They will lose their lives. And whoever loses their life for Jesus' sake and his gospel, they will find it. They will keep, preserve it. This is the eternal life. Life with a capital L. This is life. Do you guys know Jim Elliot? Famous missionary in Ecuador. He rounded up three other families together with his to go to Ecuador. And four men entered into the deep jungles to find this tribe of headhunters, the Waodani. They landed on a sandbar beside a river. And there, in their effort to break through with the gospel of life, they were speared through and they died. They lost their lives. Was it a loss? Not to Jim. He wrote in his journal, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep. He gave his life. He couldn't keep it. He gave it away. He's no fool who gives what he cannot keep. To what? To gain what he cannot lose. Life in Jesus. This is life. But the world is saying, this is life. Which one will you choose? It says, preserve your life, save your life at all costs. Jesus says, follow me wherever I take you. This life, I promise you, is filled with trials and tribulations. But follow me, and in the end, and through that path, you will find life in me. You know that Jesus did not save his life. He gave it up in the Garden of Gethsemane. He agonized over his life. He said, Father, if you are willing, this cup, as he looked into the cup, which represented the wrath of God that he was going to bear on that cross the next day. He says, if this cup, Lord, if it can pass, let it pass. If you are willing, Lord, but not my will, but yours be done. He took the cross and he walked up that hill to Golgotha. And he was hoisted up and hung, died, so that he could offer life to us. Do you want this life? It's offered to us. the Father has given His Son, who is the Lamb of God, for us to follow. And His blood washes away sin. I don't know you people, but Jesus is offering you life. His blood was shed, and He's calling you to repent of a life of sin and to believe upon Him. Show your faith. Deny yourself. Take up this cross and follow Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this offer of life in Your Son. And I pray for those, Lord, that have not yet received it. God, give them Your Spirit to take hold of this life that is in Jesus. From young to old, Lord, preach to their hearts. Lord, I pray for those who have received it. And maybe, Lord, they have not seen this cost of discipleship. They're weak and tired and weary. Father, I pray that You will display the glory of Jesus before them, that He is worthy to follow all the days of their life, wherever He takes them. Father, I pray that even if it means death to some, that they will take up that cross and follow Him. Bless this, Father, Your sheep, Your people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.